This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Can you tell us a little about what the story is about in Star Wars?
The story, when you actually put it into words, is only so much nonsense to hang a great visual experience onto. It's the stuff that fairy tales are made of. We have a fairy princess. We have an innocent farm boy who yearns for adventure. Alec Guinness is a wise old wizard who teaches me a mystical force, somewhat like Merlin would teach a young King Arthur. Harrison Ford plays Han Solo, a cynical space pirate that we hire to transport us through the galaxy. Basically, I'm a farm boy. I inherit...
Farm boy makes good.
Yes.
A nice, I hope it's a good ending. I should have to go and see it to make sure it is.
Shall we begin?
And welcome to the very first installment of Popcorn Culture, your brand new movie show with a side of pop culture context. I am Lee Chui Lin, and in the studio with me today, Arvind Yuvraj and Sharmila Ganesan. And we're just kind of the people who are going to be doing this crazy thing from now on.
Yeah, I suppose so.
We're going to have a trilogy of Star Wars. Like, that's how we're kicking this off.
That sets the tone pretty well, doesn't
it? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so in case the very grand John Williams theme didn't cue you in, that is pretty much what we're doing, because we did not make it on air in time to talk during the premiere of the most recent Star Wars. So we thought, you know what? In response to that, let's just go overboard.
Let's just do it.
Yeah. That's a whole week dedicated to Star Wars.
Pretty much. Yeah. So we're going to be starting today not by talking about the very latest, which is, of course, The Rise of Skywalker. We're going to be doing that tomorrow instead. So if for some reason you still wanted to hear our opinions on this film, that is going to be coming your way tomorrow. But today, we just wanted to, I think, really take you through the entirety of Star Wars and what it's meant.
The origins of this phenomenon and kind of why Star Wars is such a big deal for so many people in the first place, right?
Yeah. And when we say origins, it means like the original trilogy, not like, you know, not like the prequels, not like the cartoons, not like the Legends books, but like the actual three movies that came out in the 70s.
Which all of us did not watch in the cinema.
No.
Yeah.
No, because we weren't born yet.
Correct, yeah. And yet, I think it's safe to say that it had a really big part in shaping our, or at least I'll speak for myself, it had a really huge part in shaping my childhood and has since gone on, right? Like, it's a weird thing. It's something, it almost feels as if I've always known it.
So for me, my dad was a huge Star Wars fan. And I kind of feel like there was always Star Wars in the house growing up. He had the cassettes. And despite having the cassettes, every time Star Wars came on TV, we would still watch it. So I don't remember a time when I didn't know Star Wars. I can't remember when I first watched it, because scenes and bits of it have always been in my head.
Yeah, I think it's the same for me. I think I had Star Wars toys before I watched the Star Wars movie. So I would pick up, like, I had a miniature Tatooine, I had a miniature Dagobah, I had, like, X-Wings and Death Stars, even before I saw the movies. And then I saw the movies on RTM2. At the end of the year, they would have, like, this final countdown thing. And then I recorded Empire on a videotape. And I needed two videotapes, because it wouldn't fit in one, because they had so many ads. So I used, like, one tape. And then I switched it to the next tape, and the next tape had like the last half hour, which was the most important part of Empire. But I can't remember when that was, or if that was even the first time that I saw it. But it's the same thing. I feel like I've known Star Wars ever since I was a kid, or even before I could remember stuff.
And I think that a big part of that, and this has been said before, but I think a major part of why they are so enduring and why they're so immediate is really the fact that it's a soap opera. It's a space opera, right? Like, that's the most commonly used term for it. And and it's nothing if not big emotions and big swings and big storylines and big reveals. And I think watching it, whether you're a kid or, you know, whether you are somebody who perhaps grew up on the later movies and much more, you know, slicker visuals, returning to the old days, returning to the originals, there's still what distinguishes a Star Wars movie, I think, isn't always even just the look. It's the way the story is told. Mm-hmm. It's the particular flavors of good and evil and, you know, family and just, it's a very recognizable tale.
Yeah.
I think it really is that original archetypal series of characters and storylines that sets so many other sort of fantasy or sci-fi or space opera sagas that we then come to know, right? Mm-hmm. I still remember there's this episode of That 70s Show. Obviously, the kids that are in the 70s watch Star Wars for the first time.
Yep.
And because I never had that experience, and I remember that episode because they're sitting in the cinema, Star Wars comes on, mm-hmm. and they are just mind blown. They've never seen anything like that before. And for people of that generation, that's what that movie was.
Yeah.
They had never seen a story told in that way that looked like that before.
Then they go into this bar and there are all these space creatures, and then someone makes a mistake of picking out Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then he takes out his lightsaber and he goes whoosh and he chops his guard's arm right off because it's a saber that's made out of light.
Well, you know, this doesn't sound like a nice movie. Now, The Way We Were, that's a nice movie.
Which I think is what separates Star Wars from other movies that are sci-fi. Like, a lot of people say Star Wars is sci-fi. It's actually not sci-fi, it's space fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's closer to The Lord of the Rings than it is to Star Trek. Mm. And even the arc that it follows with the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell's like hero's journey, and the way that he sort of finds conflict and he finds adventure and he's yearning for something more in his life, it's that very typical fantasy story, but because it's set in space, it's unlike anything anyone ever seen at that time. It's unlike anything we've seen since.
Mm.
Like, it set the stage, and I don't think anyone has attempted to make a Star Wars after Star Wars because it's impossible to do.
They just made other Star Wars.
Yeah, they made other Star Wars. Even like, what's that movie? John Carter from Mars.
In Mars.
Yeah, so...
From Mars?
That came out before Star Wars. Yeah. So I think Star Wars was partly based on those books.
Edgar Rice Burroughs' books.
Yeah, but when it came out, when the movie came out, everyone thought it was a knockoff of Star Wars, even though it came out before the original trilogy. So that's how powerful those movies were and how it changed Hollywood after that.
So you make a really good point, right? I think that's one of the things about Star Wars is that Lucas didn't go hard fantasy, hard sci-fi.
Yeah.
He did get a lot of inspiration from things like Burroughs. I mean, a lot of it is straight up lifted from Kurosawa's Lost Fortress, mm-hmm. Hidden Fortress. But it is... It's put together in a way that you don't have to be an indie cinema lover, you don't have to be a hardcore fantasy or sci-fi fan to enjoy. The story is a very simple story. It's the story of a farm boy who finds out that he's destined for greater things.
Is it also to do with, aside from the appeal of the story, I think it's also got to do with, and I know I dismissed it just a little while ago as not that important, but if you think about the sort of pop cultural elements that have emerged from Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about Yoda speak, if you think about if you think about the look of things, the sounds of things,
the breathing.
Yes, the breathing. How you know the sound of a lightsaber? You just
mm-hmm.
do. And I think a lot of that came from the fact that this was a world created in a very specific way. With a very specific vision, but also with a fair amount of cobbling together and DIY-ness.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the DIY-ness is what sets it apart. Because the reason why people can't make it now is because nobody would do it this way now.
No,
there's nobody who would make this film or these films this way. I think the stakes are now too high. Budgets are too big. Studios are too big. They just can't do it anymore. But back in the day, back in the 70s, you could still, you know, have people gripping doors and pulling them apart. And,
you know,
having that sort of look for something that is supposed to be, you know, set in high-tech space.
That's something I actually really missed when I watched the prequels. Mm. So when Phantom Menace first came out, everything was so sleek and shiny.
Glossy. Yeah.
And glossy. Mm. And I remember thinking that this is not the Star Wars I remember. I was like, the Star Wars I remember had that grungy feel. There were dents on the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. You know, people wore clothes that looked like they had been through mud.
People look like they litter.
Yes.
Like the words look like there's litter in them,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I also think, though, that that sort of cobbled together feel extends, especially in the original, and again, Lynn, you made a great point, they don't do that anymore, in the storyline. Because Darth Vader was never supposed to be the big bad. If you look at the first movie, New Hope, he has so little screen time. He was supposed to be Palpatine's sidekick. But because he became such a huge cult figure in the first movie, they decided to extend his character and essentially becomes the iconic figure of the series, which again, totally sort of not planned, not written by committee, which I think is what makes that original trilogy so amazing even today, because you can see that story taking shape as you watch it.
And you see the seams. You see where the seams are in the plot. There's even the rumor that Vader was never supposed to be Luke's dad.
Yes, that was not something that was planned. Yeah.
That whole thing about Vader being German for father, whatever, it's got no weight. It seems that George Lucas had a completely different story, and then he made up this whole plan to have this twist at the end of Empire. That's why they sort of retconned a lot of stuff that happened in A New Hope. So again, it's just him making movies as he goes along and then fixing stuff as he makes more money along the way, which they kept doing with the newer sequels. The only difference is now there's Twitter, and there was no Twitter back then for them to have that backlash on George Lucas.
So we are going to be continuing our conversation after this about the original trilogy of Star Wars. This is our very first episode of Popcorn Culture, which is our new movie / pop culture show, and we're starting it off with I guess one of the granddaddies of something that would sit right at this nexus, and that's of course Star Wars. Up next, we're going to be talking about our favorite scenes. We would love to hear from you as well. What were some of yours? By the way, did you enjoy the new one? Have you seen it yet? What did you think? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Sharmila. And this is our brand new pop culture movie show. We are late to the party, you guys. We missed the Star Wars premiere because we were not on air at the time. So we're making up for it with a trilogy of episodes, starting off with today where we're examining the originals. We've talked quite a bit about why we love, the originals, what we enjoyed about them. Do you have actual favorite scenes, like the things that stick in your head?
Obviously for me, the first one would be the binary sunset, like when Luke is looking out to the dual suns and it's setting. And it's just typical hero yearning for adventure. He's a moisture farmer, I think, with his uncle and aunt. Just him wanting more from life, and John Williams' score just like carrying that whole scene. That's one of the most iconic scenes in Star Wars. But the other one would be like, and this is, I think, less obvious, but the first scene in A New Hope where the Vader's dreadnought is sort of making the entrance right after the crawl, and then it pans down and you see the dreadnought like on screen, and it just keeps going and going and going, and it never ends. Like, just that one visual cue lets you know like how powerful the Empire is. It just the sight of that dreadnought lets you know that these are the bad guys, and the bad guys are strong and they're powerful, and the good guys are sort of feeble and weak, and they're trying, and it's a David versus Goliath thing without dialogue, like no exposition, nothing said, immediately sets the stage, first movie. So I think, growing up into like a bigger nerd than I was before, that scene sort of just, everything about that scene is absolutely perfect and screams Star Wars.
I think for me, one of the scenes that always stands out, and this is because, again, that dearth of cool female characters to look up to when you were that age, is when we first see Leia in her full sort of stubborn, great, glory, when she's caught. And the first line that she says to Vader is, I'm probably misquoting, but it's, I thought I felt your stink here, or something along lines. And I'm just like, here's this like petite woman with this like, you know, kick ass, you know, expression on her face, looking up at this gigantic 6 foot tall helmeted character that you don't know and probably seems like the worst villain you've ever seen on screen. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, I don't care. I'm going to stand my ground.
Governor Tuck, I should have expected to find you holding Vader's leash. I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Since you are reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
No, Alderaan is peaceful. We have no weapons. You can't
possibly...
You will
prefer another target, a military target? Then name the system.
And then the contrast of that with what comes next when Alderaan is blown up. And even then she first refuses to sort of give up the location, and then that sort of crushing pain. I mean, for me, that's the quintessential like Princess Leia introduction. Sometimes it often feels like the rest of the trilogy didn't quite live up to the awesomeness of her in that initial scene. So that for me is iconic. The other scene is, and this might be a bit of a cliche, but it's the I am your father scene.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
It's just one of those things. I didn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. First, you know, this again, pre-Twitter, pre-internet, pre-spoilers, my dad had been very careful not to tell me what would happen. So when I got to that scene and here I'm thinking like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? And then I'm like, what? Darth Vader was his father all along. And, you know, you don't get those moments very
often.
You don't.
Yeah.
No, and actually the thing that sticks with me is the loss of the hand. Simply because pre-Jamie Lannister mm-hmm. days, like you don't always expect a maiming injury of your main hero.
No.
You know, that really stuck with me. When the next time you see Luke, you know, post-recovery mm-hmm. and kind of making his way back into the world, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
That happened. Like, that really happened.
Also pre-Disney, yeah? Because I honestly don't see that kind of thing happening in a Disney Star Wars.
No. It's a bit much.
Yeah.
Looking back at it now as a child, bit much. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a bit of a moment and just give a bit of shine to, I think, ultimately, over time, I've realized he's just my favorite character. And it's like, it's a stereotype, I know, but I just love Han Solo.
Who doesn't? Come on.
I know, and yet I almost wish I had a cooler, you know, deeper cut character to offer, but I don't.
Like a Boba Fett?
I don't, you know.
You can't get cooler than Han Solo.
This is the thing, right? Like, watching him as a child, he annoyed me. He, you know, like, I just thought, oh, come on, you're so arrogant. I love you.
I know.
And so it had, exactly. So it had all that. And so because I love Han Solo so mm-hmm. much, it would be the cantina scene. The cantina scene for me is one where I always think about it. I return to it as a source of joy, you know, in a trilogy that in its day, in my childhood, gave me an awful lot of joy. It gave me an awful lot of things to think about, to a lot of fantasy worlds to live in. Mm-hmm. And the cantina scene and all its... grime and criminal possibility and, you know, all the rest of it, I love that scene.
Han Solo, I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed. If it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Who shot first? So, I mean, which version of the cantina scene do you like? Like, did the Greedo shoot first, or did Han shoot first, or is it the latest, like the McClunky, that thing?
I feel like there's only one answer, right? Like, is there not only one answer? Are we debating this?
I mean, Han shoots first.
Does he not?
Han has to shoot first.
So I never understood why this is even a question. I always thought Han shoot first.
Because Lucas felt that Greedo should shoot first.
Yeah.
And then he changed it. So which version of the cantina scene stands? Like, I'm going for the, you know, the original Han shoots first. Like,
I would as well.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded killer, still cool. Still cool.
I think we've all come to a point where George Lucas isn't usually the definitive authority on Star Wars.
No.
Okay, so we don't have a lot of time left, although we are going to be spending an awful lot of time the rest of this week, yes, focusing on Star Wars. So if you are not a fan, we do apologize. There will be more variety in later episodes. If you are a fan, welcome, welcome. But just, do you guys wish that it had stopped at 3? I think we'll just finish on that. Do you wish that it had stopped at 3, or are you happy that there were 6 more?
I hate the prequels.
Sure. Okay? We'll get into that.
But, mm-hmm, but no, I'm not. I'm very happy that there was more. I don't know whether I'm entirely happy with where it went, which again we'll talk about later. But no, I who wouldn't want to revisit this world, and who wouldn't want new stories told in this world?
Yeah, I'm happy that there's more. I think it would have been a more quality trilogy if they left it at 3. But you know, Hollywood's Hollywood. So yeah, I'm happy that they went for more simply because I then had a chance to have my Star Wars. Because my Star Wars was the prequel trilogy. It wasn't a good Star Wars, but it was still Star Wars.
I'm so sad for you.
Yeah. It is still the Star Wars that I could see on the big screen, because yeah, I've never seen the older movies on the big screen.
Do you like sand though?
I love sand. It's sand's fine. Sand's okay. All the good heroes come from sand. But yeah, so I'm just glad that that happened, that we got more you know, stuff coming out of the prequels that helped Star Wars live, and then we got the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wish they had been different stories. And I think we'll get to that in a bit. But this has been us kind of taking our first episode to explore...
Being a bit nostalgic.
Yes, to explore the original trilogy. Tomorrow, we are going to talk about where the trilogy went, where the saga of Skywalker ended, and how we feel about that. There will be no spoilers.
Thoughts and opinions.
Yes, we'll be very honest. So let us know what your favorite Star Wars moments have been. Let us know what you think of the very latest installment. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Popcorn Culture on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.